Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 8:56 p.m. and that is central, excuse me, British summertime. And today is July 24th. Well, I thought we'd kick off in China. China Vanke moved to a new reaction low. We haven't seen a level at this, haven't seen a low like this in years. So China Vanke is semi-state owned, so it's probably going to be one of the first in line for any kind of assistance that the Chinese government provides to the property sector. So you had the Politburo meeting in here today, and what they had to say was, yes, we're going to deploy counter-cyclical policy. We're going to provide additional assistance to the property sector. And we're going to try and clean up the debt in the local governments. And yet, the property sector was in negative territory. And you would think that China Vanke would be one of the ones that would react best to that kind of news, and it didn't. And then when we look at something like Country Garden, which would be more private investor led, then it's also continuing to trend lower. So I think investors with regard to China are in a show me mood. And they're not being shown a lot of evidence that the government is in fact willing to do what it says it's going to do. There have been lots of pronouncements over the last several months basically saying that they're going to lend assistance, and it has been pretty slow in coming. And the H share index was also in negative territory in here today. Then it's worth considering that the dollar index is rebounding. Now, it's not rebounding in an especially dynamic manner, but it has been up on consecutive days. So it's unwinding the short-term oversold condition, and that is beginning to put some pressure on emerging markets where domestic currencies would have been appreciating and then lending some assistance to the respective stock markets. So the Nifty index in India is also in negative territory today and just unwinding the short-term overbought condition. This isn't a dynamic move by any stretch of the imagination, and it is really quite overbought. So it wouldn't be at all surprising to see a test of now what could be potential support in the region of the upper side of the underlying range. And perhaps by the time it gets there, that will also coincide with the 200-day moving average. Now, when we think about Japan, well, the Nikkei was in positive territory today, and this is a consolidation below the psychological 35,000 level. I do wonder whether we are in an environment right now where it is well understood what's going on in Japan, and will we then see an acceleration of this trend where we've had these very long-term ranges? So I think if we're going to have a change of that trend, it's going to have to be led by foreign investors, or it's going to have to necessitate that we would see a clear catalyst to spur some money to be taken home by the Japanese investors. So the hedged exposure to Japan continues to trend higher. It's certainly been accelerating higher. This is the first real consolidation, and I think as long as it's holding this 80 level, then it's still a reasonably consistent uptrend. And there's clearly the potential that hedged exposure to Japan will be among the better plays over the course of the year, and not least because Japan is deliberately devaluing the currency in order to stimulate growth and to try and ensure that inflation becomes entrenched. Of course, everywhere else in the world is trying to make sure that inflation does not become entrenched. But there is a wall of debt in Japan. They really do need inflation to pick up in order to chip away at it. And it does look like they're willing to do whatever is necessary in order to achieve their goals. So the yen was a little steadier in here today, though, because we are in more of a dollar rally type situation. So even with the dollar rallying, we didn't have an especially dynamic move from gold, and the price is still consolidating mostly above the 200-day moving average. Where we did have some volatility was in Bitcoin. and the price was down in excess of $1,000. So it is now coming down to test the 29,000 handle and pulling down through the 30,000 level. But not on any specific news, so perhaps there's a little bit of insider trading going on here, and it would really be interesting to find out if we see a decision made on whether Bitcoin ETFs will be allowed for some of the largest asset managers or not. But at least for now, prices are breaking down from this range, and we would need a clear upward dynamic in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But I was reasonably encouraged by the performance that we had on Riot today, because it was well off the low. So it still looks like consolidation. We had this really quite explosive pop on the upside, where it goes from 10 to 20 in the space of about 3 weeks. And now it's unwinding some of that overbought condition, but this doesn't look like much more than that. It just seems to be some kind of consolidation. Now let's also just look at some of those other cryptocurrencies. And Ethereum is pulling back from the 2000 level. Not in an especially dynamic manner, but it is pulling back. So it has not yet mustered the wherewithal to break up and out of this base formation that's been forming for the last year. I think if it were to sustain a move down through the 1,000-day moving average, then that would certainly point towards an extension of the base building period of time. But if it finds support reasonably quickly, then that we're still in a recovery scenario. Now, when we look at European markets, there was quite a bit of variability, but nothing in an especially dynamic manner. So the FTSE 100 has generally tended to benefit when the pound has been a little bit easier. And that's certainly been the case over the last week. So the index continues to pop up through the 200-day moving average once more, has demonstrated support in the region of the 1,000-day moving average, and if we see additional dollar strength, it's reasonable to anticipate that this index will continue higher. But we're in a very long and lengthy period of consolidation, and prices have been hovering here around the 7,500 level for the last 6 years. So it does need the bullish catalyst to push on the upside, and that will likely be in the form of global growth improving. But the bigger question then is, what's going to happen with the global economy as we continue to see interest rates rising? The excess savings that were built up over the pandemic are taking a while to melt and to be deployed. Now, the big question, though, is when will savings run out? And that's probably going to happen faster in the USA than most other places, because generally speaking, the US consumer, when they have money, they will spend it. So they'll run down their savings faster than other places. And we're seeing that in the performance of companies like Costco. And the share popped on the upside over the last 3 weeks. It has now broken that triangular pattern that's been forming. It looked like a completing Type 3 top formation as early as January, February of this year, but then has popped on the upside, broken the sequence of lower rally highs, and continues to improve on that performance. Now, it's trading on a PE of approximately 40, and obviously that's not exactly cheap. So now the bigger question is, are they going to be able to follow through on their push into the online business? So they're obviously then taking some of Amazon's market share. And one of the nice things about Costco is that if you ever have a problem, you can always bring it back to the warehouse. And it's getting increasingly pricey to return items to Amazon. So Amazon's share price is rolling over a little here. And it's not down in an especially dynamic manner, but it is down. And now the question is, will the sequence of higher reaction lows hold? And that remains to be seen. And we had quite negative activity from companies like Tesla and Netflix on Friday. But Tesla did bounce in here today, and that is looking like an upside key day reversal. And it is closing above the high of the peak on Friday. So if it gets upside follow through tomorrow, well, then that will represent a low of at least near term significance and the potential for some additional upside. Then I think it's interesting that when we think about China and the efforts that are underway to try and instill confidence, well, companies like PDD are continuing to advance, and not in an especially dynamic manner when you look at the weekly chart and the scale of the decline and the subsequent or the advance ahead of it. Tend to put some shade on the chart because it did go from 200 down to less than 40. That was a really profound decline, and it's held a sequence of higher reaction lows since March of last year. So this is a recovery trend overall, and that is despite the fact that Chinese shares are really underperforming in here. Now, we also saw that Ryanair, having basically said that they would have higher fares for longer at their last earnings call, said today that they're not going to have higher fares for longer and that instead they're going to engage in price cutting. So the share dropped back down, but it's a well-capitalized company with a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines, and that is something that generally tends to grease the wheels of commerce. And when we look at the chart pattern, it has been ranging for the last 6 years, and it is now testing the region of the 200-day moving average. Considering the fact that they said that they're going to have to start cutting prices, it could have been worse. But the one thing that Ryanair has in its favor is that they have plenty of experience dealing with a low-price environment, and many of their competitors do not. So I think it will benefit over the longer term and is probably best bought following a period of consolidation. Now, when we look at some of the, I'm just trying to remember, it's Consolidated Airlines, and my Bloomberg isn't being. It's, I think it is frozen. So, but some of the other airlines are unlikely to be able to match the performance of Ryanair when it comes to a price war, and they anticipate a market share somewhere in the region of 30% of European air travel by the end of the decade, and that's a significant jump in market share for a company like Ryanair. So it's obviously been doing better than some of the other airlines, and I suspect that that is going to remain the case. We're in an interesting environment for the tourist industry because there's been a lot of demand, and people have leapt back into travel following the hiatus of the pandemic. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy to make money, and there are certainly labor issues, pension issues that many of the airlines have to deal with, and so far at least Ryanair seems to be holding its own against some of these other competitors, and I think that's it's reasonable to anticipate that's going to continue. Now let's think a little bit here about the war in Ukraine, because we're continuing to see upward pressure on grain prices, and wheat was up in strongly positive territory in here today, and we have now got a higher reaction low, and it is pushing up through the 200-day moving average and testing the downtrend from the peak a year ago. And I suspect that we're going to see continued upside from here. And it's not simply wheat that is appreciating. We're seeing lots of these agricultural commodities doing better. So corn prices, having really came down with a bang in late June, have found support and are firming. And this looks like at least a reversion to the 200-day moving average. Then if we look at some of the smaller markets like oats, Well, it has broken on the upside, and that's a very well-defined base formation, and it continues to appreciate. And I think this is just a broad pattern of behavior we're seeing right across the grains and beans. Now, obviously, this is problematic because if food prices ramp higher, then that might not factor into the spending habits of too many people. The vast majority of consumers can afford food. But it is psychologically something that everyone's aware of. When the price of food goes up, then people immediately feel poorer, regardless of how much they spend on their grocery bill. And the Invesco Agriculture Fund popped to the upside in here to set a new high for the year, and there's a rounding characteristic here consistent with additional upside. So it does look like the grains and beans sector is on the march. And then let's also think about sugar, because with high oil prices and high commodity prices more generally, then sugar could also be in line for additional interest. Now the share has pulled, excuse me, the price has pulled back to the region of the 200-day moving average in a rather sharp manner and has subsequently rebounded. So the next point of resistance will be the last sequence of higher reaction lows. And there is, I think, a clear potential that we're going to see a break on the upside, having now found support in the region of the 200-day moving average. So this is a very clear pattern of behavior. And of course, it's very hard to argue that we have a clear bull trend in commodities unless oil prices are also following through. And oil today was up nearly $2, exceeding the $80 level now for the first time in quite a while, but most particularly pushing up through the 200-day moving average. So this is now clearly threatening the medium-term downtrend, and there is obviously the potential that we're going to see additional upside for the energy complex. So if we then think about some of those energy shares, they had been coming back down to test the sequence of higher reaction lows and are now improving. And if oil prices break up through the $80 area, there is a strong likelihood the XLE is going to move on to new high ground. And of course, that is the ETF covering the S&P 500 energy sector. And of course, because we have some supply being withdrawn from the market, well, then that is going to also begin to create demand for new supply. And that's going to basically come from offshore. And the potential is that the drilling for offshore will improve. And we've seen now that Transocean is breaking out to a new 5-year high and completing a very lengthy base formation. Then, if we look at the contract drillers like Schlumberger or Halliburton, they've also begun to firm in here. And now coming right up to test the peak from earlier this year, but a clear sequence of higher reaction lows is intact. So certainly there is more activity on the commodity front, at least not internationally. And I guess that is helping to inflate in, or to create inflationary pressures that are not welcome. Now, the next question is, how high are those commodity prices going to go? And with oil popping on the upside, we have to remember that surging oil prices are one of the primary contributors to recessions. We already have tight monetary conditions. We already have high interest rates and rates that went up very quickly. And now we're starting to see oil prices breaking on the upside. And if oil prices surge from here, then that is going to create an energy crisis. If food prices surge from here, it'll create a food crisis. And this is very similar to the kind of activity we saw in 2007. So we do need to be alert, but For the moment at least, the stock markets continue to march higher. And I think this is a time to have a stop, to know where your stop is and not mess with it, but to also continue to give some benefit of the doubt to the upside. But the Nasdaq is the most risky of the indices, in my opinion, because of the overvaluation and because of the overbought condition. Whereas the more blue chip indices, like the Dow Jones Industrials, continues to push on the upside and is exhibiting clear outperformance now relative to the Nasdaq. I had quite a bit of discussion last week about the nature of value and how it applies to growth stocks versus income stocks. But we might as well also talk about that in terms of interest rates and the outlook for interest rates. And I think what's happening in the commodity markets right now is important. And if we have oil prices that surge from here, then that really is going to become both a political and market liability. So it's certainly something to pay attention to. And with that, I'll wish all the best to all of you.